Welcome back. You're here on 770 CHQR and More Than Money with Dave and Faisal. We've been talking a little bit about all the money that's being created, you know, as a result of the pandemic and its effects in different countries and different geographies around the world. Peter Zion's with us. He's a geopolitical expert we've had on before. And Peter, in the previous segment, you shared with us a little bit about that global order and perhaps, you know, where the U.S. has positioned its currency and so on and so forth, which makes it unique and perhaps privileged in this global economy. Now, Canada is not in the same boat. So very interested to just start with a big, fat, open-ended question about your thoughts on Canada and risks and opportunities that you see.
Well, let me start with the negative and then let's go to the positive. Looking at Justin Trudeau these days, you definitely get the feeling of somebody who's a deer caught in headlights. That's not because of a lack of leadership on his part or a lack of competence when it comes to his cabinet. That's just the circumstances. It has been driven home since his first election that Canada is not an independent player in international affairs because that requires a global system. If there is no global system, if the Americans are no longer playing that role, Canada only has one thing to worry about, and that's America. And he has gone out of his way to appear as innocuous to President Trump as he possibly can. That's probably the best path forward. And under COVID, it means that Trudeau has no choice but to basically watch these ridiculous Trump conferences every day about how the United States is going to deal with COVID and try to find a way to navigate through the mess. It's not a job I would want right now, but whoever was Prime Minister of Canada, that is absolutely what they would have to do. That's the international side. China doesn't matter. Japan doesn't matter. Europe doesn't matter. Only the United States matters, and that is now sunk in Ottawa. Internally, COVID has knocked roughly one-third of global oil demand offline, and the single most important long-term income stream for the federal government is taxes on oil sales and transfer payments out of Alberta, which has gone to zero. So the financial situation that Canada has been in for several years, which was fairly positive, is just imploding right now. And a year from now, I expect absolutely drastic debt issuances and drastic budget shortfalls for Confederation. How Canada determines how Canada deals with that, how Canada changes its social security systems, its healthcare systems, its redistribution systems, will tell us exactly what sort of country Canada will be for the next several decades. Because if Canada cannot manage that, then some degree of breakup is probably inevitable, because Canada cannot afford its current setup without Alberta, and Alberta is now completely offline. And if Canada cannot find a way to make Alberta function 5 years from now, then Alberta has no reason to stay. So transferring from Alberta in these circumstances is just a nightmare.
Yeah.
So that's kind of the long and the short of it.
Well, that was rosy. So let's go into the let's get into some of the details. Of course, you're speaking to an Alberta audience here, and your thoughts, comments on the federal response to the oil industry so far. And where you think that they, you know, the federal government may have to go in order to protect the, you know, the whatever it is, 10 or 12% on a first derivative basis of the economy, which is oil and gas.
Well, it's 10 to 12% on the first derivative, but yeah, that's remember that everything else kind of spills from that. It's much more important than that number makes it sound. The number that Kenny is asking for, $30 billion of loans, I think that is very conservative considering the scale of the problem. The biggest challenge and honestly the biggest opportunity is Alberta's going to have to shut down almost completely. I expect 80 to 85% shut-ins just because of cost structure. And that's before you figure out things like infrastructure. Mm-hmm. Luckily, any part of the oil sands that is mined as opposed to produced in situ, you can just shut it down and you can come back to it. You just have to make sure that you preserve the personnel and the functional organizational structure. It's not like a well in Venezuela where if you shut it down, it's never coming back online. And that means you have a lot more flexibility in Alberta over the long run, but it does mean that you need to almost go to zero in the short run. And how Kenny and Trudeau work out a deal on that or not will determine exactly what happens with this industry moving forward and exactly what happens with Canada. This is the point that the decision is made on Canada's future.
I don't know that the rest of Canada fully appreciates, you know, how significant.
They'll understand in less than a year.
Yeah.
Because when the money is simply not there anymore, people are going to wonder why.
So let's shift this over to the audience that listens to this show are generally your 50 plus approaching or living in retirement. Many of them are from Alberta. They're worried about not only the Alberta economy in Canada, but they're worried about their retirement. What are some of the things that people need to be aware of? Let's go over the next 10, 15 years throughout their retirement, maybe even 25 years out if you want to go that far. And what are retirees or close to retirees need to worry about going forward?
Well, the real big date is 2022. 2022 is the year that the majority of the baby boomer generation across the developed world reaches retirement, which means that right now they're shoving every dime they can into their retirement savings. And that is pushing down the cost of capital, which is pushing down returns on capital. And that's independent of COVID. So the next 3 years in investment returns are going to be wretched. That's just the nature of the beast, especially with the fear and everybody going into UST bills, which are probably going to be the 10-year is probably going to be negative later this month. That's just where we are. However, if you can hold off past 2022 before you retire, we'll be in an environment where a lot of the retiree or a lot of the boomers have moved into retirement, which means that the availability of capital will plummet, which means that the cost of capital will go up, which means that the return on capital will go up. There's nothing about the next 3 years when it comes to retirement that looks friendly. But after that, the world will be in an abject, chronic, probably permanent capital shortage. And in that environment, if you do have some capital accrued, you should be able to get some pretty impressive returns. The question is where you're going to invest it. Now, the United States I've already spoken to. I don't want to beat that horse any longer. It's going to not go anywhere. And anything you can do to invest in the NAFTA economy writ large would be great. The Mexicans don't really have a stock or a bond market. Most of that investment is indirect, but it's still worth looking at. In the wider world, you've got to look at the countries that are going to seal trade deals with the United States so they can still be part of that system. Korea and Japan have already done that. The United Kingdom will probably have one later this year. So those are economies I'd be willing to look at a little bit more. Beyond that, however, keep in mind a couple of things. In a world without a global order, there will be spheres of influence. You'll have an Argentine zone and a Turkish zone and a French zone, for example. But getting capital to and from those zones might be a little nerve-wracking. And outside of those zones, something that we always seem to forget is in the world before the global order, it was the destiny of almost all markets to eventually go to zero. So to have a global order style retirement program means you have to keep your money in a political and economic network that you are actually involved in. Canada has the advantage of being part of North America. Most other countries don't.
Yeah. Okay.
So that's an interesting way that you broke it down, Peter. You put it to the 2022. I don't think people are really spending too much time thinking about that kind of stuff. And then what happens after and the capital flows and those nations that are, I guess, some of the darlings that you should look at and some of the areas that you should kind of stay away from. So I'm glad that you broke it down that way. That gives a lot of thought for individuals to think about where and how they should be handling their capital.
Yeah, and there's a common theme here. And Peter, again, I think you've made it abundantly clear that selectivity is going to be very important.
Absolutely.
You've got to be very selective given the current environment and where you believe that current environment is going to go. And I think that's an absolutely critical message, one that we were talking a lot about in our most recent client conference call. Peter, we have to leave it there. I want to thank you, as always, for sharing your thoughts, future-gazing a bit for us and helping us sort of frame where we are today and some of the challenges and opportunities going forward.
My pleasure. You guys take care.
You too. I'm joined by Peter Zion, geopolitical expert. Let's try to make some sense of all this, my friend, because that notion of selectivity, right, is going to be a critical component, we believe, going forward. in how to invest, how to protect that retirement income that you need, all, you know, all of those elements, things that people are worried about.
Yeah, we're going to break down how you actually do this so you can enjoy your retirement way past 2022.
Right.
Way past that. We're going to discuss that on Tuesday, May 19th, 7 p.m. online, live. But you need to register. So go to morethanmoneyradio.com. That's morethanmoneyradio.com to register.
Yeah, and stick around if you're interested in some tips on how to take control of your financial future. You're on 770 CHQR and More Than Money.